The date is August 23rd, 1985, and we're watching Teen Wolf.
Oh!
Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Styles to my Scott.
Hello, everybody. It's Colin Stewart.
And of course, as we come up on our 200th episode, episode 199, we are starting Foxvember. And so we needed to bring in a guest to kick off the month. And so the term hero is thrown around so much these days, but gosh darn it, he's back. It's Kingsley Leung.
Hey-o!
Welcome back, Kingsley. So good to see you again.
Great to be here. Thanks again for asking. I always love my time with you guys.
Kicking off Foxvember with us. Yeah. The penultimate to our bicentennial episode. Look at that. So this week, we're looking back at August 1985 when the movies and theaters were Return of the Living Dead, subject of episode 71, Summer Rental, subject of episode 141, Real Genius, and subject of episode 142, Weird Science. This show has definitely covered this month in history. And, of course, our movie for today, Teen Wolf, which earned $33 million on a $4 million budget. Not too shabby.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like... Theater Family Secrets.
Then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So this week I found three taglines for the poster, and the first two suck, so let's just get them out of the way. Number one, Michael J. Fox is back from the future in a new comedy.
Wow.
Yeah. Capitalizing right away, because Back to the Future came out like 2 months before this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I think that had something to do with the success.
Yeah. And number two, another straight up name drop here. A new comedy starring Michael J. Fox.
Smooth.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So finally, here's the good one. Maybe. He always wanted to be special, but he never expected this.
Wow.
Yep. I also read Michael J. Fox hated this movie, but did it anyway. So, yeah.
Well, why not?
He really never expected this. Yeah. Well, not very good descriptions of the movie. So let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
All right. High school nerd Scott Howard's body is starting to go through some changes, but not the ones you'd expect. As he begins to experience bouts of uncontrolled rage, excessive facial hair, pointed ears, claws, and fangs, Scott's dad decides it's time to have the talk and reveals that lycanthropy runs in the family. For the dummies out there, that means he's a werewolf. Fearing how people will react, Scott tries to keep the wolf under wraps, but after he accidentally transforms during a basketball game, he discovers that everyone is down with the teen wolf. Scott uses his wolf powers to become a basketball star, getting the better of his rival and presumably losing his virginity to the hottest girl in school. Scott soon starts to wonder, is he anything without the wolf?
Let's find out.
On another episode of I Used to Like This One.
Riveting. Riveting.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, so... when we were thinking up a theme month, I thought of Foxvember, because last year, we had so much fun with Cultvember, tributing, you know, an actor that we enjoy the movies of. And for me, Michael J. Fox, we've only done one Michael J. Fox movie on this program. And so I had to get a Michael J. Fox month. And I'm born in Edmonton, Alberta, which is interesting because this comes full circle. The first time Kingsley was on our show, we had a star from Edmonton, Alberta that was in the movie with Last Starfighter.
Get out. Wow.
Yeah, Mary Wells or whatever her name was,
Yeah.
or yeah. So, when I was younger, I loved Teen Wolf. I mean, this was one that was always on Super Channel. I just always got a kick out of it because I liked Michael J. Fox growing up. I mean, Back to the Future, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. So, Teen Wolf, it was a no-brainer to bring this forward. So, Kingsley, when I reached out to you and said, "Join us in Foxvember, come do Teen Wolf." What's your history with Teen Wolf? Because I know we're kind of in the same age bracket compared to the youngin' over there, Colin.
Yeah, I know. We respect your elders, Colin, because we have some
Right.
knowledge that we can probably pass on to you. But Teen Wolf for me, growing up in the 80s, quintessential 80s, where I was, I always thought the actress that played Boof, which incidentally, as a side note, I don't know where they came up with that nickname. Like, it was never really explained in the movie. It was like, oh, I guess that's a weird name, but nobody ever questioned it.
Based on a friend from college is one something I stumbled across in trivia.
Okay.
So I
Interesting.
still don't know where it came from, but he knew
Yeah.
someone that they called Boof.
But again, just like some other movies that we've talked about in the past, that actress, I really liked her. I liked the kind of like that nerdy, kind of like sweet and innocent, but kind of hot in a weird way.
Yeah,
I
she's
thought
kind
she
of
was
cute.
always, I always thought she was better than the main girl.
She's the prototypical girl next door. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you
Yeah.
see it coming from a mile away, but yeah, she is. Yeah.
And and back then the movie was made very, I would say, very stereotypical 80s. It had a very nice message, right? It had a very perfect ending. Everything went well. Everything went according to plan. And the message was you can just be yourself. And back then, as cheesy as it sounds, growing up in the 80s, especially as, surprise, surprise, an Asian person in Edmonton. There was a lot of there was a I was like it was very unique back then, right? Back in the 80s, there were not a lot of Asian kids that I was hanging out with, and I was like always trying to win people over, and for some reason this movie maybe subconsciously was like, be yourself, you can do
Yeah.
it.
Okay.
You mean you didn't like rely on your presumed prowess at chess and like other computer-based games to win friends?
Well,
I'm just
being
assuming that's like the Asian version of Teen
yeah,
Wolf.
when I wasn't playing piano 7 hours a day, and in my martial arts class, I was
You didn't flash those kung fu skills.
I'm a good driver, by
Yeah, with this movie, it's almost like they watched the video for Thriller and were like, "You know
Yeah.
what? You started that orange for us. Let's see where the rest of this takes us." You know, that's how it kind of felt like with me. I guess everyone was doing these movies in the 80s. Anyway, Colin, what about you? I vaguely remember you saying zero history with Teen Wolf, correct?
Yeah, it's like a show I or a movie I would say I knew of, but I don't know. Have we watched a Michael J. Fox movie?
Secret of My Success.
Secret of My Success, right?
Yeah, that was like episode 14, so a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know if I said it then, but I guess I'll say it now. I'm also just not like, I hate saying this because I know he's got like a thing going on, but like I was never a big fan of Michael J. Fox. Like, I know
People like
really.
Ray.
When I was growing up, like people, I remember people raving about him on like Spin City and that kind of stuff. And he always like, yeah, it always seemed like it was like my dark secret. Like, how could I not love this Canadian? It would be like if I was a wrestling fan and didn't like Bret Hart, which I don't. So,
Okay. So this is going to be an insufferable month for you then.
I don't think insufferable. I think for me, it's going to be like, because I don't not like him really based on anything. I just have never seen anything with him in it that I was like, oh, that was amazing. And like
Back to the Future?
Back to the Future was like way too ahead of, I watched it as like an adult. So I don't have like, I feel like his career is built on Back to the Future. And if you missed Back to the Future, then like Michael J. Fox means nothing to you.
Is kind of what I surmise.
Well, that
Wow.
and Family Ties, because like he was
Yeah.
doing all these movies while also doing Family Ties.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Let's jump into Teen Wolf. Directed by Rod Daniel, produced by Mark Levinson and Scott M. Rosenfeld, and written by Jeff Loeb and Matthew Wiseman. Jeff Loeb, that name may look familiar because you've seen it all over like a bunch of fucking Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very famous comic writer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting. As a side note, can I interject? Speaking about Marvel and this movie, there was a line that I caught because I had rewatched this movie not too long ago, and there's a line in there where the dad, so Teen Wolf's dad, I can't remember the name of that actor, but he goes,
Harold.
yeah, Harold. So he when they have the talk that, this runs in the family, basically, he says, "You're gonna get great power, and keep in mind, with great power comes great responsibility." I'm like, did they get that from Spider-Man? What?
Or did like how long has Spider-Man been using that?
Since the inception of Spider-Man.
Well, I'm just making sure. Like I'm just making sure that it wasn't like phrased differently originally.
No, I'm fairly certain that's like, if maybe if not in Amazing Fantasy 15, it's in like Spider-Man number one, which is still like a 1960s comic.
Totally.
So I've had fun lately finding these little bits of trivia. In Brazil, Teen Wolf received the title Boy from the Future there because they were trying to capitalize on the success of Back to the Future.
Wow.
In
How does
Italy,
that even make sense, though? Like, so in other countries, we can just name movies what we want, and it has doesn't have to do anything with like the story. Why not Wolf from the Future or something? I don't know.
Well, that would help, but in Italy, it's desire to win is what it translates into, and in Spain, it's the film was titled Hairy Chest Male. So, if you're over in Spain in 1985, you might be watching Hairy Chest Male, the movie.
Wow. Okay. Love it. Love it.
So those opening credits were boring, yo. Oh my
Yeah.
God, like,
I know. And they're shaky. So shaky. Why so shaky?
but I just even mean like the black, where it's
Yeah.
like the heartbeat, and it's like,
Yes. Yeah. For an 80s movie, like I'm used to the like cityscape montage, like high school, like showing the shuffling feet with the upbeat music and the like all that. It's weird that they just start in this moment of like high drama and like copious amounts of sweat. I know. I thought at first when the credits were going, like something was wrong with my TV. Like, is that the sound? What happened?
Yeah.
Weird.
What do you guys think is like the average age of the basketball players on the court here?
I heard nobody was actually a teen.
Yeah,
No.
25. I think mid-20s is what kind of all the actors are. I think Styles is the oldest at 27.
Oh, really? I was gonna guess like 30. Because some of them look 35, the rest look maybe 25.
Yeah, definitely a lot of 20s, a lot of 20-year-olds. And I heard that they cast one of his Michael J. Fox's stunt doubles when he was playing basketball as the Wolf, because MJ was not a good basketball player. Canadian boy, he plays hockey.
That's great. Yeah, he sure does. And they got someone that was like a college varsity basketball player as his
Ah,
stunt double. And so
perfect.
yeah, he's a good like 6 inches taller than Michael J. Fox, at least 6 inches or
Yeah.
more, more muscular. You can definitely tell when it's the
Oh
stunt
yeah.
double dressed as
Yeah.
the Wolf.
But it's hidden quite well because it's natural, right? Because like you got the wolf costume on, you can't tell. It's perfect.
It's not his fault that as a wolf he towers over everybody.
Just true.
I do like the old fake out though in this opening where we're in this high drama moment, like you said, our sweaty hero is dripping down on the camera and he's trying to make a free throw shot. And I love that, like, in the grand scheme, it's like an absolutely meaningless moment
Yeah.
because they're down by like 50 points. Coach is trying to forfeit the game. We've got scoring records they want to uphold. You can't forfeit
I wish the movie would have
the
delve deeper into the coach's life.
Yeah.
You know, he just seemed like a bit of a, you know, he didn't care. He didn't give a shit about the kids and that sort of thing. Like, he was doing his own thing, but it would have been nice to have more of a backstory on the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he had a lot of advice.
Yeah. I kind of felt like that on the whole. I don't really like the way this movie starts. Like, I felt like it's kind of jarring the way that it just starts with the basketball game, and all of a sudden he's like experiencing, like, it takes so long to get to the explanation of like why he's a wolf, and it doesn't like jive with any of the lore around werewolves or like common stories around werewolves that I've ever heard. So like I was really thrown off when all of a sudden it's like he's already, because I assumed when I saw the title, like, oh, the movie was gonna start like kind of Spider-Man-esque, where he's like a normal guy, and then maybe he's like walking home from practice after losing the game, and you know he gets bit by something, and he thinks he doesn't think anything of it, and then all of a sudden, you know, full moon happens, and he starts experiencing wolf shit. Like, I thought that's the kind of movie I was in for.
You didn't like Pass Through the Bloodline.
No, I
No?
didn't. I thought it was also weird, and like, I don't remember. Like, does the mom get involved? Is the mom around?
No.
Yeah, we never see the mom.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's a widow or
Oh, okay.
widower. Yeah,
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
then
It's not really explained, and I kept being like, I don't know, what does she have to say about this? Like, clearly she knew, or like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she they talked about it, right? Because when Harold was explaining what happened, what he did with the vice principal there back in the day, and he's like, oh, I did this for your mom and I and this and that. So they explained that he was with his wife, but they don't explain if she's still around.
Did Harold eat her?
But that, well, but
Oh.
that as I thought about it later, also opened up this like massive plot hole in the story, because like it sounds like Scott, like Harold confronted the vice principal guy in a pretty like public forum as the wolf, right? So clearly, like, the town knows about the wolf.
This is like the new Ghostbusters, and you're like, well, how could they have forgotten about what happened in New York in the 80s? Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
like
the same
the
sort of thing. It's like, yeah, if he was a wolf running around, people would know about the crazy wolf guy in town.
Yeah, and so why wouldn't anybody, like, why they should have put more effort into showing the vice principal like being suspicious of Scott being the wolf. They just kind of play it off like he's this like asshole vice principal, but like he clearly like knows something about this family that should have come into play way earlier that never like, yeah, it was weird.
I totally agree with you, and also if this movie was made, you know, more, you know, in contemporary times, like if anyone fictitiously or not, if they changed into a wolf, it just seemed like everyone was so accepting of this fact.
Except
Yeah, that's the thing.
the
Yeah.
one guy. But then they're like, all right, yeah, we'll team wolf, all
Yeah.
right. Right? And it's like,
That's not the way it would happen in the 80s.
I'd be like, what the fuck? I mean, this guy's gonna be taken away and like, you know, and been go he's gonna go to a lab, he's gonna test him.
I
Military's gonna come
also
in.
love how there's two movies in 1985 that have Michael J. Fox, where he is a delinquent at school that the principal seems to hate. Right, because Back to the Future as well, it's the same sort of thing. Strickland in that one is all, you know, your father was a slacker and you're a
That's right.
slacker. You know, and this one, it should be, yeah, your dad's a wolf, you're a fucking wolf. I know it's coming.
Yeah, like, it's just
But I don't, why he's
it,
always like a delinquent, I don't understand. Michael J. Fox doesn't have delinquent vibes for me.
no, it's so funny, the idea of Michael J. Fox playing like the cool guy character, like, it just doesn't vibe nowadays, I guess. But maybe back then it was like maybe the point was to like show nerds that like, hey, you can still be cool
Oh,
type
absolutely.
thing.
Wait for
Absolutely.
some of the things you're gonna see this month, Colin. Oh boy.
Yeah.
You've got some treats
But
coming for you.
yeah, I don't know. That threw me off. I was constantly like thrown off by this high school of like middle-aged adults
Yeah,
and just I don't know. It was weird.
And it's, oh boy, it's definitely 1985 with the fact that we've got like one of the buddies is named Chubbs.
Yeah.
You know?
Styles.
Yeah.
Styles.
So
Yeah.
we have the mildly racist moment in the locker room with the
Yeah.
with him
They
trying to.
use the F word, and we're not talking about the four
Oh
letter one.
yeah, they definitely did. Yeah, that was a big moment. Yeah.
Yep.
So now the other thing about the fact that Dad is a dog or whatever is a wolf, how come he doesn't react to the dog whistle?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought. Maybe
I mean,
he's learned to
maybe
block it out.
he's learned to control his powers.
He's old, he's losing some of that upper frequency hearing. It's just, you know, I did find it interesting, unless, you know, like Dad was using that as a moment to say, hey, wait, Scott's got the curse too. Here we go.
Yeah.
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 He gave the kid that whistle. Oh boy, in 1985, though, parties are definitely off the chain. I'm
Oh,
gonna say off the chain. There was, wow.
yeah, lots of everyone's just smoking up and keggers everywhere,
Yeah.
like
Throwing Jell-O down girls' shirts and whatever
Yeah.
that weird, like tied up wrestling on the floor game they were doing.
Now, I don't know if this is just because, we're used to, today's crap about, well, it's not crap, but we're a bit more sensitive these days to stuff like this. But like when they were in the closet together and like he starts to rip her shirt and all that kind of stuff, starts to get aggressive. I almost felt a little cringy when because it almost was like very date rapey
Oh,
kind of a scene.
there's some very dubious consent moments in this whole part. Like, 'cause the Jell-O is definitely another one where it's like,
Yeah.
well, wait, did she sign a waiver? Like,
Yes.
I'm okay with this if I know she signed a waiver, because I know everybody in this room is over the age of 18, probably over the age of 25, but did she sign off on it? Was there an intimacy coordinator on set?
Yeah. Definitely back then, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm very sure there was. Yeah.
Like I was waiting, it just reminded me of like another movie where it's like my boy Blue. They're
That's
just
right.
like
Old
in
school,
they're
yeah.
just right they're just oh man, that was fun.
Yeah, and I mean, the drama teacher, when he goes to deliver the paint to the drama teacher, he's giving off some very uncomfortable vibes as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That drama teacher reminded me of somebody I couldn't place. It's kind of like Dimitri Martin or like Steve Coogan, one of those
A little
guys.
bit, yeah. I also thought he had a bit of a Fisher Stevens quality, but unfortunately, you've all only seen Fisher Stevens in brown face on this show, I think.
Oh man, did you there's an urban legend that I've been reading everywhere online about this, where at the end of the show, some at the very last scene where they're celebrating, apparently an extra in the background exposes himself in the bleachers behind them. Do you hear this?
All right.
Well, what it is actually is it's a woman.
Oh, was it
Yes,
a
and they had to sit there for long hours, and the pants that she was given by costuming were too tight. So she had to like unzip them and unbutton them when she was sitting on the bleachers, and then forgot to do them up again for the jump up part.
Because
Yeah, so.
at one point, like I slowed it down just because I was like, is this for real? Is this legend for real? And it looks like she, well, I guess I didn't know it was a she, but it looks like that person was tucking something back in. And I mean, it could have been their shirt, but it kind of looked like it could have been a dick.
And from what I've read about this urban legend is it was her trying to cover up the fact while she was also trying to zip up. She was trying to cover with her shirt and zip up at the same time. So, yeah.
Interesting.
It is funnier though if it's like an Aladdin level conspiracy theory of take your clothes
Oh,
off or whatever, you know.
imagine if you were if you were if that was a dude and that and like that's your claim to fame. It's like
Oh yeah.
my dick was in the movie Teen Wolf.
That was me.
We're going streaking.
I'd be setting up a booth somewhere for sure, taking autographs.
That's right. What kind of cons could you visit with that? I mean, come on.
I would start one. I'd call it Extra Con.
Extra.
And I would just, it would just be like famous extras from movies.
There we go. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of those that have really stood out to me over the years.
Did you find either one of you find it wasn't really gratuitous nudity, but when the main popular girl gets naked,
Rhonda.
Yeah, when she gets naked in front of him in the dressing room,
mm-hmm.
and she takes off her bra and you can kind of see a little bit of side boob or whatever. But do you think that scene was necessary? I just felt it was just thrown in there.
I thought that scene was very, very strange because two things. For one, the whole premise of it, like when he comes in and she's all like, "We're just one big family in the theater." I was like, "That's not my experience."
Yeah, it's like that's never.
that's never.
I mean, like you and I were tight. We're tight. We're all tight.
Except that one. Except that one time with Kingsley, where we don't have to talk about it here, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like,
I don't want to say that Kingsley kisses and tells, but.
I do not. I mean, what you know? This is a circle of trust here, right? We don't have to let people know what goes behind.
But yeah, it was odd. Like, it would have been one thing if they made out, but the fact that she just, like, you know,
got naked
and then decides to get down was a bit, I don't know. Well, that it just seemed very like 1980s male fantasy to me.
Yeah, that's why I felt out of place.
Yeah, and I know that I had constant questions about what her relationship status actually was, because he kept insisting that she's not going out with that guy. And, like, I'm sitting there watching it with Tracy, and she is also, she's like, well, isn't she with the other guy? Like, it doesn't come out till the end where it's like, oh, okay, she was not really in a position to do this, but why does he seem, does he know that she's a fucking harlot?
I guess not.
Yeah, that was strange.
Yeah,
but I mean, and it's also because like she, like I was just reading, she was like she was in Playboy or something like a couple years before, so I think they were just like taking advantage of that fact. It was like, we can't have a Playboy playmate in our movie if we're not gonna like show the goods.
But they didn't, that's the thing, they just hinted at it, right? You saw her back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
But just like the whole movie, like, you know how they took advantage of releasing all these other movies that Michael J. Fox was in just to, you know, take advantage of his name. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a lot of marketing, maybe you can maybe call it strategy, around the promotion and marketing of this film, because I don't think many people thought it was going to be a hit, including the producers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, did surprisingly well. I'm wondering whether urban surfing ever took off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't recall doing that.
I mean, apparently with Styles, that is actually him up on the roof of a moving van.
Oh yeah.
They've got him tethered like around the waist and down through his pant leg and into the van itself. But yeah, he's actually up on the roof doing the surfing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I also enjoyed it because that scene, it was kind of like Scooby-Doo, because they kept driving past the same strip of road.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I mostly noticed that because, yeah, exactly, that road was full of sponsorship corner.
And actually, I don't know if you noticed, but I didn't notice this the first time, but when they're going down that street, you can actually see there's a motorcycle with its blinkers on,
mm-hmm.
guiding, looks like it was guiding the either the traffic or the van.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was meant
to
be.
It was a police escort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, that's weird, but okay.
Well, here we go. Sponsorship corner brought to you by movieposters.com. Yeah, we have a sponsor now, Kingsley. With over 100,000 titles to choose from, movieposters.com is the number one destination for posters from your favorite films and stars. Use Like This One 15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase. And if Teen Wolf is your favorite movie, I looked and I saw that there are a few options of posters to buy for this movie and the sequel, Teen Wolf 2. So,
nice.
Here we go. Always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Teen Wolf is brought to you by Adidas and Rawlings Sports Equipment, Gatorade, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Polaroid and Kodak, Visa and MasterCard, Dodge and Peterbilt, Jim Beam and 10 High Whiskey, Bud Light Beer, RC Cola. First time ever seen RC Cola. 199 episodes. And wow. We have never had RC Cola. It's always Pepsi or Coke. Wow. Go RC. TV Guide and Saturday Evening Post magazines, Denny's and Jack in the Box restaurants. They kept driving past those. AMF Bowling Lanes, Cascade Soap, Sears, Purina Dog Food, Barbasol Shaving Cream, Gladding Sleds, Speedy Transmissions, and the movie Police Academy, which was on one of the background performers' shirts.
That's funny.
He was wearing a Police Academy shirt. Plus the possibly fictional The Sugar Bear Shop, Tony's Liquor, Canada Brand Peat Moss, and of course, Howard's Hardware. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
Sweet. We love you all. We love you guys. I liked how when they were playing the one basketball team at the beginning, when it looked like they were playing the Beavers, that is, they were playing this team that was wearing red and white. It looked like Team Canada.
Yeah.
The Dragons.
I must say that those were the whitest basketball teams I've ever seen. There was one black guy out of all of the teams. But so does this high school have two different teams, or does that other guy go to a different school?
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, because it seemed like they were in the same school sometimes, but then maybe not. Maybe it was like another school in the town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was two separate schools, but that's a little odd. I didn't really pay attention to that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a movie or like a Netflix TV show to be made about that Kirk guy, like Johnny Lawrence style, where like he seeks redemption against the werewolf that like ended his relationship and stole his city championship.
he becomes like a modern day Van Helsing.
Yeah. Wow. So you're saying you only noticed like one black basketball player?
Yep.
And even that, not even on the court. We only see him like in the shower.
why aren't you using that guy? And I also noticed only one Asian character in the entire thing that actually had a line. And I think he was the janitor. when Michael J. Fox was trying to find a bathroom, and he goes from bathroom to bathroom, and the first one's like, and the janitor's there, and then it looks like he's cleaning the bathroom. He's like, this one's busy or this one's dirty. And that was the same janitor that they made it so wet on the.
That was an impressive run through the hallway that he does, though.
Yeah, and all the way through, I'm like, why so wet?
I know. It's like it's not even like mopped wet. It's like somebody just emptied a barrel full of water down the school hallway wet.
I know. Like, I know. So weird, right? Yeah.
Well, I saw a video not too long ago about how they washed some of the subway stairs in like some major cities like New York, and they just take a big bucket of water and dump it down the stairs, and gravity does all the work.
Yeah, so, it's faster, more efficient.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
People are just going to
during school hours, he dumps the big bucket of water in the hallway
with no sign. Like, what if someone fell over? You know, lawsuits.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, 1985 though. Yeah, there we go. The one Asian and the one black guy. We met our quota. We're good.
Diversity.
Diversity.
Diversity tomorrow, because today is almost over.
That's right.
You should write a book. Oh, amazing.
Oh, that's The Office.
I can't take credit for that one. That's The Office.
I want a t-shirt that says, what does it say? What are you looking at, Dick Nose?
Oh my God, he had some great shirts. Yeah.
Obnoxious.
Obnoxious the movie. Yeah. What are you looking at, Dick Nose, though, was probably the highlight of shirts.
That was the best one.
Yeah. I mean, you can't wear that in school, right?
But why? Like, do you think it? Do you think that's actually offensive today?
I don't know.
Dick knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It might be.
I mean,
I'd be too afraid to test it.
Yeah. It seems like something out of like an adult Pinocchio. Get out of here, dick nose.
This doesn't even seem like that's offensive. It's like, Okay, dick nose. Oh, well.
Okay, Colin, now you're the first time viewer over here. I mean, first of all, I am curious how predictable you found this script, because clearly we see the love story that is destined to end up at the end of this movie between him and Boof. But how did you feel once we actually got into wolf territory? Because you said it was a slow burn up until the wolf, but once wolf comes out in the game, and I want to say that his transformation in the bathroom is kind of legit. Like, I was kind of impressed by the bubbling face effect. But, yeah, once we actually get Wolf, what did you think of Michael J. Fox? Michael J. Wolf.
Michael J. Wolf.
Yeah, I don't know. I think... I thought the overall, look was good. Like, it's a classic, you know, Universal Monsters style werewolf look.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good. I think... in terms of predictability, yeah, the script was super predictable, but I was just, I found myself, especially on the first watch, just like constantly thrown off at like the lack of like werewolf, I think I said before, like lore at play.
Yeah.
Like that it just, that they just didn't, they just like really, they just threw out all the like classic werewolf isms and tropes and stuff. And to Kingsley's point about like how everybody's like so accepting of him. It just created this situation where like, what was the antagonist and the protagonist were literally what, like they were himself. it just becomes this like this weird story of like, can I accept myself? But like, it didn't feel earned.
Yeah,
and it didn't feel like honest. Mm-hmm. That he like, I never really bought that he was like, oh, like I don't know if they like me or they like the wolf. Like it just. And I think maybe it's because, like, I don't know.
You know, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Colin. It feels to me that this movie was made, like, let's say the three of us got together today and made a movie about our lives, right? And then about crazy lives. It could totally not make any sense in terms of the plot, but we would have all the cool stuff that we've done over the last few years. Like, you would just have all the cool stuff that we've done, right? So I feel like when this movie was made, it was kind of, it just captured teen life in the 80s and with the parties and with all the shit that happens at parties and just like the at school. I think that just brought together, I think it highlighted a lot of teen life in the 80s, and that's why it became a cult classic, right?
Yeah.
I think what could have helped, like, I this is my favorite thing to do with this shit, is like what could have been better. There was an issue with Boof. Like she doesn't drive anything. Like their whole love story, like, is like she at no point is really like, don't see her, see me. Like, I'm the one who's here. Like, we never get that like classic teen movie moment of like, you're not seeing what's right in front of your face, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she hints at it, like, you know, when they made out and all that kind of stuff in the closet.
But it's like really like understated, and you don't get that like climactic moment where it's like, she's had enough and she's just gonna, like, they almost have it when he's like, oh, I need to be the wolf for the dance, and she's like, well, then I'm not going with you. And then he's like, but will you dance with me? And she's like, yeah, okay.
Like, no, like, no, like, you fuck this guy. Like
you, she needed to be in that moment, like, telling him, like, there needed to be some like emotional movement of her telling him like you are more than the wolf. And then we needed that moment.
Yeah.
And then I think like the, what's like Kirk? Is that, that's the, like the main guy from the other basketball dude?
Yeah, the bad guy. Oh,
his nemesis?
The boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm just remembering now, he says that one like line about how he blew his mom's head off with a shotgun. And like, I almost felt like it would have been better if he was like the son of the vice. Like, there was some sort of like investment into like him being anti-wolf, because He's not really anti-wolf. He's just pissed now that like this guy is good at basketball all of a sudden because he has wolf powers. It's like he really should have been going. There should like there needed to be some other obstacle. Like why are we all of a sudden on board with this Harlem Globetrotters like novelty act of a werewolf being allowed to play basketball?
You know, I think a better plot would have been if like that main that Michael J. Fox character, so Scott Boof and his nemesis, I think if all three were like childhood friends and you see kind of like the three of them hanging out as kids and they were all, you know, brought up together, but then she Boof ended up liking Scott and not the other dude, but the other dude liked Boof, and then they all kind of grew up this way. So there's some so there's a lot of like antagonism between the two guys. And now, you know, and then now basketball rivalries. That to me would have been almost like would have made more sense with the having this tension between the two of them, right?
Yeah, needed to get a little One Tree Hill.
But meanwhile, there's the other guy that all of a sudden doesn't want to hang around Scott, but we never see anything from his side. We never see any like moment where he's like, no, fuck you, Scott. You're showboating now. You're being a dick. I'm scared of you because you're a wolf. Like he's
And I think that's like the fault of having Styles be Scott's main best friend, because that guy was never gonna be fazed. You needed somebody to be like questioning of the wolf, and nobody ever really does it. Boof's kind of like, well, he never told me. Like, you're just like, I don't know. And then even like, they set up this whole thing. I don't know. I feel like there was like some foreshadow at the beginning of like when they see the news article about like can he can finally make two shots or something. And then I like when I watched the movie the second time, I was like, oh, like they should have made more a thing about of that, about like maybe he can only hit one out of two, so that when he hits the final shot, like when he gets the two in a row, like that is elevate. Like things in this movie just needed to be like small little tweaks needed to happen to just like elevate each of these moments, because it just plays so flat, is kind of what I found. And even like when Harold is telling Scott about his run-in with the vice principal or whatever when they're younger, they go through all that trouble and then they set up the exact same scenario
In present
with
day.
In present
in
day, yeah.
present day.
And instead of like which would normally happen, where it's like Scott needed to be better than his dad to show the bad guy that he was better, but he doesn't. He just does the exact same thing and then cries about it and is like, oh, I can't be the wolf anymore. I can't be like, and there isn't even a question about like, can he control the wolf rage? Like all the questions that this character should have had to resolve are non-factors.
Yeah.
But we don't care. We don't
I
care.
know.
Well, they really just needed some sort of way to make him popular, and this was the thing. I mean, it like I mentioned earlier with Thriller, it's almost like they watched the Thriller video and went, that's a start. Let's see where we can go from there. And that's how it kind of feels with this movie, is we're just gonna have this wolf guy and he's accepted. It's whatever, magic.
We should have they should have had Vincent Price on there, so.
That's right.
Yeah, like I was, I don't know, listening to some other podcast or reading something about like stories, and they're talking about how like a basic premise of a story is like the main character needs to have some sort of like thing that they really want and an obstacle that they need to overcome in order to get it. But like Scott has no, he has like things that he only kind of wants. And obstacles that are there, but like are pretty easy to just push to
Yeah.
the
Yeah, it would have been
side.
cool if he actually went and it became like a really good actor. Like when he played that part
Yeah. Well, and
on stage.
it's funny that you bring up, hearing someone talk about writing, because I heard something, I watched something today from Trey Parker and Matt Stone, where they were explaining that for writing, you can't have something where an event happens and then an event happens and then an event happens. What you have to have is an event happens, because an event happens,
yeah,
but this happens to get in the way, therefore, you know. And so it was just the way of tying it together. And this, after watching that, this feels kind of like, oh, okay, this is, this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. And
yeah, it's like that, that's like the, it's a very like first draft, no edits
script. This is how I would describe it.
I got this crazy idea.
And Colin is just furious because they took away what makes a werewolf a werewolf.
Exactly.
I had that too, yeah. Not happy about it.
Did any one of you watch the sequel, Teen Wolf 2?
I have seen it. I haven't seen it recently, though.
I have not seen it. I just know it has Jason Bateman in it.
Yeah.
I was wondering like how that... Yeah, I was wondering how it would be... I do like me some Jason Bateman, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think that's one that he's very popular with, or very, very fond of, very proud of, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
He didn't build his career on Teen Wolf.
I don't think anyone knew that he was in Teen Wolf 2. But it's interesting that, you know, his sister, right, Justine Bateman, her and Michael J. Fox were in Family Ties together. That's right. So that's an interesting tie-in.
His sister on Family Ties, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the end, though, we do get to find out at least, though, that, you know, the one-man team is not where it's at. Teamwork makes the dream work, because he comes in. He just strolls in late. You know, it's like... maybe if he'd been here from the beginning, we might have done better even.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been fighting for that idea. Last point.
And I like at the very end, I wish they would have done the very typical slow motion when he shoves the popular girl out of the way so that he can get the boof. I just want that slow motion, like,
yeah, they needed to build that up a little bit. Yeah, that the end of Basketball Game is like, probably to me, like maybe the most enjoyable part of the movie, just because you can tell Michael J. Fox is such a is a bad basketball player,
but all of us, but like
nobody's moving and he's just running around like these human pylons and doing these like behind the back passes and all this stuff. So, to like give the illusion that all of a sudden he develops some skills.
Well, and the other thing I find funny about that is, at what point did the team get any better? Because they were a pile of shit in the beginning, and then he became this one-man showboating team. So at what point did they learn how to work as a team? He steals the ball out of one of his own teammates' hands at one point.
Yeah.
They needed throughout the movie to kind of show like that the wolf was helping them like learn how to play better and like learn systems, so that like when the wolf went away, like maybe they could still do it. And they also needed, like, when he comes in with his like, he's like, guys, like, we can do it without the wolf. He should have been like, I don't know what his name was, but he should be like, fat guy, like, you're the biggest defender there is. Like, you know how to block like nobody's business. Like, long legs, like, you're three-pointers out of this world. Like, you know, like we needed that rousing, like, speech.
Yeah, the motivational speech. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, we're gonna submit Teen Wolf 3 as a script, right?
Yeah, but probably not with Michael J. Fox, right? Maybe Jason Bateman will come back for another team.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It'll be like an Ozark-esque kind of a movie.
That's right. Yeah, they have to blend the humor of this one. I use that in quotation marks with the darkness of the series. Exactly.
That's a good show.
So. I also found it an interesting choice that for the credits, they hold the freeze frame for a few seconds and then go into this weird slow motion for the entire credits.
Yeah, that's odd.
Where the cheering is still happening at normal speed, though.
Interesting choice. I don't know what that was about.
So here's my favorite bit of trivia from IMDb. Ready for this one?
Let's
hear it. Scott Howard, arguably the first wolf to play organized basketball in America, wore number 42 on the court. Coincidentally, he shares the same jersey number as Jackie Robinson, the first African-American baseball player whose number is retired throughout Major League Baseball.
Coincidence?
That feels racist to me, okay? Like that IMDb, 21 out of 48 people found this interesting. That is like the stupidest piece of trivia that I've ever found on IMDb. Like, wow, he wore 42 just like this guy. And he was the first at something.
You're taking a real living legend and using this fictional Teen Wolf character to be the same.
From an entirely different sport as well. But there we go. That is Teen Wolf. Now, Colin.
Sorry, I missed that. Were you saying that Scott's number was 42?
Yeah, Scott's number is 42,
So
and so
this
is
are
Jackie's Robinson.
they're
So the.
insinuating like Scott Howard is the he's the first white man to break the wolf barrier in basketball. Like,
Yes.
gotcha.
He's the first wolf to break the wolf barrier.
That's right. That's big,
Absolutely.
man. Big
He's the
news.
first one, yeah. So.
Nice.
And there we go. That's Teen Wolf. Now, Colin Kingsley on IMDb, it scored 6.1 out of 10, has a Metascore of 25. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 46% on the tomato meter and the audience rating of 52%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like dunking on your opponent, hit us with some reviews.
Man, the conversation was so good. I forgot to search some up while we were going.
Well, we never
Oh.
actually went over the cast list either.
I know that's you know it's good when we don't resort to our usual time fillers.
That's right.
Really, out of the cast list, it's like Michael J. Fox and a bunch of people you probably haven't seen in anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently the one the main nemesis guy, he's still acting today.
Oh.
But he's like a B or C list actor, so you don't really hear about him, but he's been in a lot
Yeah, you're not like, whoa, when's that next Scott Paulin movie coming out?
of shit.
Because that's who plays Kirk, just so you know. Okay, reviews, let's
Right.
do this.
Hey, Kitty Black gives this movie 4 out of 5 stars. This came on TV just now and I started watching it. OMG, I was laughing so hard. I can't believe I haven't seen this before now. I always enjoy MJF, but this was hilarious. He really was quite inspired as the wolf. Despite having a huge prosthetic wolf mask and makeup, he really embodies the cool slick guy everyone wants to hang with. It was weird because the kids' hair, fashions, and dance moves were exactly the same as in my high school circa 84, 85. I honestly thought it had been made somewhere in Vancouver, BC because it was so identical to the kids I went to school with. I looked at the locations, but it was filmed in LA. MJF is such a likable guy. He really makes the film the box office success that it was. The dad's pretty funny too. The only bad thing was the score during some scenes. Otherwise, it's great, silly, and very entertaining. Yes, there is, I swear, I should have went and confirmed, but I swear at one point they score a basket and the score goes up 5 points in the final game.
Yeah, it definitely was filmed in LA because when he walks Boof home, the house they stop outside of when that walk and talk is done is George McFly's house from Back to the Future.
Yeah, they had the
Yeah.
same. They shared the same set, I
Yeah,
think.
that
Or at least
janky
they were
ass
close. I was gonna say,
that.
they just film this? Maybe this is like an actual. Maybe whatever country that was. Like,
They
maybe
hit
this is
it.
an
They hit the
unofficial
nail on
Back
the
to the
head.
Future sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that janky ass sidewalk that they're walking down.
Michael J. Fox at the beginning of his movie career is probably like, oh, I guess this is just where all movies are filmed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Lineage says 3 out of 5 stars. Man, this was a good movie. It did take a little while to get invested in it, but you could say that's the case for anything and everything. To be fair, it's probably more of an issue of mind for me than simply a common occurrence. Don't doubt yourself. This movie truly is deserving of being called a classic. At least I think it's considered a classic. What is with this guy? The only issue that I had with it, although that's more of an overstatement, if anything, is that it didn't seem to be. Man, this guy's just reaffirming your point. I mean, there was, in a sense, it just felt directionless, I guess. Other than that, there weren't any issues as far as I could ascertain. Then again, I'm not looking for any. It was a fun, slightly goofy movie. You may have to suspend your disbelief, though, just a little bit. I didn't have to. But I can understand why some people wouldn't like it. I liked it very much. Oh my gosh. If you're looking for a laid-back movie to watch to bask yourself in after watching more intense, stress-inducing, tension-filled movies, this should fulfill what you're looking for. And if not, you must be watching a lot of nerve-wracking movies. I know that feeling. But in general, this movie should do the trick.
Listening to that one, I'm picturing a lot of brackets.
Air quotes?
No brackets, lots of commas though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that person, yeah, take a stance. That was almost like you at the beginning trying to dance around how you feel about Michael J. Fox, because it's kind of like, like, I mean, he made this movie, and like the poor guy these days, I mean, yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it's also bad. Like, take a stance.
Yeah. B. John Kurgan says this movie is kind of weird. If not for the werewolf aspect, it appears to be about some creepy kind of aggression and maybe even date rape dismissed as rough sexual conduct. I'm not saying it's date rape, just that werewolves don't exist, and thus, well, it'd be a weirder perspective if the werewolf were involved. I've actually known people who behave like this, and it's very weird. Not a bad movie, but a weird depiction of reality. Say it's a depiction of reality is.
Yeah,
I
that's a
don't know.
stretch.
Yeah, let's start at surfing a van and go from there for far-fetched. Like it gets
Yep.
more ludicrous from there.
Let's see what else we got. Oh, Michael S. 2.5 out of 5 stars. A movie that can only exist in 1985. A very fun, cheesy, and dated film. No, a very cheesy and dated film, but still somewhat fun. Michael J. Fox is great at portraying a shy average teenager, which shows he really could have been an awesome Spider-Man back in the day. The music is also very damn catchy. If this was released today, people would have ripped it apart piece by piece.
That guy's fan cast in 80s movies for 80s Marvel.
Yep.
This unnamed one says 2 out of 5 stars. It's dripping with cheese, but it's hilarious to watch with friends.
Or when you're on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to the music guy. I wonder if that music guy went on to do anything else in any movies.
That young man was named John Williams.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll leave with this one. Unnamed reviewer, 4 out of 5 stars. I had been hooked on watching movies made in the 80s and saw Teen Wolf last night. It was not as good as Back to the Future or The Karate Kid, but it certainly captured the charm anyone could hope for in a movie coming from that era. I appreciated the message of being yourself instead of doing what society would want of you. This theme is lacking in most recent movies, so I enjoyed seeing it in this production. The only real dinger from Teen Wolf was the excessive amount of unnecessary sexual content and innuendo that mostly wasn't related to the plot. Then again, perhaps it reinforces the tension between the two girls and one boy drama that most films set in high school have. All in all, Teen Wolf was an enjoyable movie. I would absolutely recommend it.
Very nice. I think we talked a lot about that too.
Right on. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Teen Wolf. For me, nostalgia only takes me so far into this movie. I mean, I did love this movie as a child. I'd seen it plenty of times, and boy, on this watch, it doesn't hold up very well. I mean, the charm of Michael J. Fox can only take me so far through this movie. But yeah, this movie, I kind of agree with like the 50% range that the audiences are at. It's like, eh, it's good. It's kind of nostalgic. But it's nostalgia was pulling me pretty hard through this one
Yeah.
for most of it. So Kingsley, on this viewing, what did you think of Teen Wolf?
Well, just like Scott's jersey, I'm going to give it a 4.2 out of 10. And
Nice.
but I'm with you. I'm with you on this one, Sean. I think I think the story, I think the way that it was stylized, the way it was written, the music, the parties, like that, I think it really encapsulated 80s teen life, right? And I
Yeah.
think it and the music was so, every time it played like a slow, cheesy, song, I was like, that's so 80s. That's like just like it just reminds me, just brings me back. So, but it does have its limits. So I think even though it was so bad, became good and became a cult classic. But I still think it did encapsulate everything. But there's so many plot holes, and so just everything else was not great about it.
Yeah.
But I do like Michael J. Fox. I'm a big fan, and I like all his movies, and he's done some really interesting things during his career. So I'm going to give it a 4.2 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, even though I don't want to necessarily be all gatekeepery on this show about, oh, this doesn't hold up anymore, and oh, you can't do that anymore, right? There really are some things that it's like, yeah, that it is definitely a product of its time. There's consent questions. There are plenty of sexual harassment questions.
So that was the 80s.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
I, for me, all those pale in comparison to just how like flippantly they throw out the F word. Like, I haven't heard that word in so long
It was abrasive,
that I
yeah.
was like, whoa.
Well,
It's like I
and
got slapped in
that's what I was
the
building up to with
face.
that too, was it's just like, wow, that scene where it's just a big open discussion about it. Like, yeah, the homophobia rampant in that one scene. Yeah. Well, Colin, it's your first viewing, so Teen Wolf, what do you think?
I'm gonna give this
We
movie.
started off Ace Ventura style here with this one, yeah. We did When Nature's Calls at the beginning of September, and yeah,
Nice.
it was a bad way to kick off a month. So here we go, Teen Wolf.
This movie doesn't do it for me. I'm gonna give it a thumbs down. But in saying that, I would chalk it up to like, there's a good director's cut of this movie to be made, if there's like extra scenes available, because I just found like the plot, like I said before, everything fell flat. Nothing was especially interesting or like emotionally moving, in my opinion. I could see as like a nostalgia piece for the 1980s, it might have some merit, but like this movie came out a year before I was born, so like, it doesn't really hold any of that for me.
If Zack Snyder redid it, would you watch it?
It would have to be in black and white. It would have to be in 4:3 ratio. That's the only way I'm gonna watch it.
Yes.
It has to be like 7 hours long.
And like way more nudity.
Now, I honestly, what I wanted more of was I wanted heightened sports drama, and then I wanted the love triangle thing to be more like firm and grounded. Like, it just didn't make sense. It was like I'm not even sure that Scott really even at any point really really likes that girl, or if he just wants to bang her.
The hot one or Boof?
The hot one.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he was pretty obsessed with her from the very beginning. He's like he seemed pretty obsessed with her, so I don't know if that was just like he knew that she was the popular girl. He knew that she had a boyfriend, but he was just like, I want her. I want her. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Not my cup of tea. Not
Yeah.
still like this movie definitely did not make me a fan of Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
So I think we're like, how many Fridays are in Foxvember?
Four, yeah.
Four. So we're 0 for 4 right now.
Well, and really, with Michael J. Fox, we're like 0 for 5, really, because I don't think you like Secret of My Success very much either.
Oh boy.
You found that character to be a pretentious douche.
Yeah, I was just when we had talked about Secret of My Success earlier in this movie, I was thinking career opportunities. So yeah, that's the different movie. I don't think I liked Secret of My Success,
No.
from what I recall.
That
I
was the one.
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun little romp.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I think that's Teen Wolf, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, big, huge thank you to our pal Kingsley Long for joining us.
Thanks for
Thank you,
having me.
Kingsley. Yeah, maybe Teen Wolf 2 in the future.
You never know.
Maybe we'll have another sequels month coming up. But like Colin said, he could always go for a little Jason Bateman, so
There you go.
yeah.
Why not?
Well, if you like that show, one thing you could do, just tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast, or go over to whatever app you listen to your podcasts
Oh
on
wait,
and
I forgot. I had did have a point I wanted to make because
Okay.
we have our Asian friend here. Have you watched the movie Turning Red? Because that is the better version of this movie.
I have not seen that one. Turning
Oh,
Red?
okay.
When did it
Yeah,
come out?
It's like the new, it's like
The Pixar.
yeah, it's a new Pixar movie about
Oh,
like
yeah.
this
Turns into a
girl
red
who turns into
panda.
a red panda, and it's kind of like a pseudo thing for like getting her period or whatever. But you know, it's all, but it's like, but like it's like it is that similar, like embracing your inner whatever and that kind of stuff. And like, yeah, there's a lot of similarities to it, to Teen Wolf, I think. But I think that movie actually does it better.
Well,
And
see, it all started with Thriller. See, Thriller became Teen Wolf, which became Turning Red. There you
there we
go.
go.
Can you guys do maybe like a Asian week?
Yeah, we should.
We could.
And we can focus on Asian inspired movies. I would love
Hey, good chance to get Rush Hour 2 on the show.
that. I
Do you
was gonna say,
understand the words coming out of my mouth?
is it all gonna be Jackie Chan and Jet Li?
Rush Hour 2, Karate Kid 2. Come on. There we
All
go.
right. Oh
Yeah.
boy.
Zebra Man 2.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3?
There you go.
Mortal Kombat. Come on, this is
Well,
live.
we've already done both of those.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh boy. Yeah. So yeah, tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a show, or go over to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars. We would love that. Little review. Doesn't matter what you say. It's not for our egos. You can't fix us. It just, helps move us up the charts and algorithms and all that sort of nonsense. Or if you want to be a producer of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become part of our Patreon family and you get a shout out like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like. And then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Big thank you to our sponsorship corner sponsor, movieposters.com. Remember, like this one 15, like this one 15 at checkout to get 15% off. And of course, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music, or his solo shit. Go look for his solo shit too. Oh boy, Colin, Foxvember. Okay, not off to the best start, but we're gonna keep cramming our Edmonton boy down your throat. Yeah. But
Only gets better from here.
next week we have our big episode 200, and we talked about it several times in this episode, but one of my favorite trilogies of all time is Back to the Future. So we are doing episode 200 with a big one. We're doing Back to the Future.
Nice,
I'm excited
nice.
to talk about Back to the Future.
It's like looks like we're going to O for two.
0 for 2. Yeah, see, I've got my Gray Sports Almanac right
Nice.
there. Yeah. Oh no, so you didn't like Back to the Future from what you remember of it, huh?
Yeah. You know what? We'll save it for next week.
Okay.
A little tease.
Bring out the
Yeah.
big guns.
Well, episode 200. Don't worry, we've got other stuff for you this month. We'll turn you on them. We'll turn you back around on them. Well, there we go. So until next week, for episode 200, when we do Back to the Future, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
And we'll see you then on I Used to Like This One.